1 John chapter 5, verse 1, the Bible says, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ, is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" Amen. In chapter 4 of this letter, John was inspired to write to us about the love of God. He told us of how the love of God was revealed in Christ Jesus, his Son. And then he told us how the love of God is revealed in us as children of God and how we ought to live for Christ now that we know him. As we studied last week, we have victory in Jesus. We do. We have victory in Jesus. Our faith in him brings about a new birth. We are now born of God and members of the family of God. And you know, I didn't think about it until just as I was reading those verses again this morning that of how important it is that the family of God be in love with the family of God. He's saying that if we're born of God, then something special has happened to us. We not only love him, but we love those that he has begotten. And therefore, there ought to be a coming together of those who are of like faith. That's important, though. Not just everywhere there's a cross, but those who are of like faith. But our faith in him brings about a new birth. We're born now of God, and we're members of the family of God. I am a son of God. You know, and I like saying that I am a son of God. Why? Because of my faith in Christ. And you are a son of God or a daughter of God because of your faith in Christ. And the world no longer has a hold on us. No longer. Now, the victorious in Jesus are not without responsibility. We have a responsibility to love one another. We have a responsibility to love the family of God. We have a responsibility, I believe, to love the creation of God. That's those who are not yet believers. But we have faith that God will do a great work. So God gives us victory over our hearts so that we can see people as he sees people. And love the unsaved enough to show them how to be saved. And to love the saved enough to tell them where they are straying away from the word of God, and to love the saved enough to exhort or to lift them up from day to day. That is victory in Jesus. And by this we'll all know that we love God if we keep his commandments. Now, God has always required that man keep his commandments, and it really started early. It started with the very first man, Adam. In Genesis 2:16 and 17, I'll just read it to you. It says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." The Lord God commanded early on. And a great victory was forfeited when Adam took of that tree. It really was. A great victory was forfeited. He lost his communion with God. You recall from your reading in Genesis early that the Bible says that God came down and he communed with Adam. But when Adam didn't do as God commanded, he lost that. He lost a great victory. And in turn, he introduced sin to the whole world. But Christ came to restore that communion. And that restoration requires the same commitment that God placed upon Adam, that we keep his commandments. We got to. In today's message, I've entitled Keep On Keeping On. And the idea is that we are to keep God's commands as evidence of our commitment to him. In that point, I've entitled Keep On to Overcome. And then we are to continue in his commands. Continue in his commands until we obtain complete victory. And I've entitled that one Keeping On to Overcome. It's a very simple instruction that God has laid out for us to follow. Let's go ahead and get started with that first point, that we are to keep on to to overcome. Go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3. It says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." We're gonna kind of intertwine verses 3 and 4 into both of these points, because I think both 3 and 4 contain the same message, two points within themselves. They support one another in making our lesson for today. They repeat for emphasis, I believe, for our learning God's command to us. So verse 3 begins out with, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And verse 4 begins with, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." I believe these two are in concert with one another. "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And verse 4, "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world." And what is this victory? This victory is our faith. Now we see the second part of that for our second point. I guess I can go ahead and show you that too. In verse number 3, the second part of that verse says, "And His commandments are not grievous." And the latter part of verse 4 says, "And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." I think those two points are, those two verses are very much in support for one another. We'll dive into that a little bit more, but let's start out with the first part, that the love of God, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world. What God is telling us is that we've got to commit ourselves to keeping. We've got to commit ourselves to keeping the commandments of God. In order to do that, we must first come to know who we are and what power we hold in ourselves to make ourselves righteous. You know, one of the great stumbling blocks, I believe, to many people coming to know God is that they believe that they are righteous in their own right already. They try to compare themselves to what I'm doing, to what you're doing, to what a guy in prison is doing, a guy on the streets is doing, and they determine themselves to be righteous enough based upon what they observe from other people. However, that is not the biblical definition of righteousness. God does not tell us to go out and take a look around and determine who we are ahead of on the list of people who are doomed to be doomed to destruction. He doesn't tell us to go and find our place in line, but instead He tells us that we have to determine our righteousness based upon the Word of God. So we cannot in our own make ourselves righteous. We can't. There's no power within me to make me righteous. There's not any power within me that can do that. You know, and I came across a couple of verses very recently as we've been studying the book of Jeremiah that I thought really drove that point home, and it's important for us to understand that we need to first keep to the love of God and to His commandments. Look in Jeremiah chapter 10. Let's start there. Jeremiah chapter 10, page 565 in the Pew Bibles. Just a couple of verses I want to share with you, beginning at verse number 23. Jeremiah chapter 10. What does God say about me and my being able to determine my own self, how righteous I am, or that I can do all things by myself without God, that I don't need salvation, I don't need to follow after Him? Well, God is giving Jeremiah many visions about what is going on in the lives of His people, what is the destruction that is yet to come, and giving them an opportunity to repent. And Jeremiah comes to an awesome truth about himself and about his people and about their need to be dependent upon God. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, he says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." He said he can't do it. But Jeremiah calls upon God to do it. He says, "O Lord, correct me. You correct me. You make me righteous as only You can." He says, but do it with judgment. What is that judgment? With the Word of God, with His commandments. He says, but with judgment, not in thine anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Correct me with judgment, Jeremiah requested. Lord, correct me with Your Word. Show me how to be a commandment keeper, if I can put it that way. This tells us that first we must confess Him. And then we must surrender to Him. You know, it's almost like we need to say to the Lord, I have your salvation. Now show me your plan. I have your salvation, Lord. Now show me your plan. Show me your word. And show me how to be a man or a woman that you would have me to be. Show me how to be right. Show me how to keep them. Because keeping the commandments, by trusting in the author of the commandments and by depending upon the author of the commandments, that's going to be the only way that we're going to truly ever overcome. Now, I want to show you something about depending upon the Word of God, the person of God, not only to bring us to a point where we can understand His commandments, but also to show us how to keep them. I want to show you something about King Solomon. He was, the Bible says, the wisest man that ever lived. Now, look in 1 Kings chapter 8. That's on page 283. I'll tell you a little bit about him as you turn in there. God called him the wisest man that ever lived. You know Solomon's story, that God gave Solomon an opportunity to ask for all that he wanted, whatever it was that he desired. And Solomon, recognizing the size of his kingdom and recognizing the great responsibility, this calling that God had placed upon his life, he asked for wisdom. He asked for knowledge. And God told him that all the things that he needed would be added to him because he had requested wisdom and knowledge. Now Solomon, in 1 Kings chapter 8, in the chapters leading up to chapter 8, King Solomon had been building a temple for the Lord. And he had finished completing, that's redundant. He had completed the temple. And he had prayed a great prayer, one of my favorites. And if you have some time and you go home, read 1 Kings chapter 8, an awesome prayer that Solomon prays for his people that I think is so applicable to us today. But when Solomon completed that prayer, when Solomon was really, I think, preparing the people to be commandment keepers, I want you to see how he prepared the people to find their motivation and their determination in the Word of God, in the person of God. And he promised them that God would give them great victory and that God would give them great peace, as God had given them peace during the period of their building this temple. He'd given them great peace in their land so that they'd be able to do it. And now as Solomon finishes up this prayer, look what Solomon says to the people beginning in verse number 54. As he shows them how important it is to not only keep the commandments of God, but to trust that God will show them exactly how to do that. 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 54, the Bible says, "And it was so that when Solomon had made an end of praying all this prayer and supplication unto the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread up to heaven. And he stood and blessed all the congregation of Israel with a loud voice, saying, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of his good promise, of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. Let him not leave us nor forsake us." Now I want you to see how Solomon says our dependency has got to be upon the Lord to show us how to keep his commandment. He says in verse 58 that he may incline our hearts, not me, that he may incline our hearts unto him. That he may incline our hearts so that we might know how to walk in all his ways. That he might incline our hearts, the Bible continues to say, so that we might keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, which he commanded our fathers. Lord, show us how to keep your commandments. Show us how to walk in your ways. That's Solomon's prayer to the people. That's his command to the people. Verse number 59, he says, "And let these my words, wherewith I have made supplication before the Lord, be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night. Now, Solomon had just prayed, and I want to give you just a little hint so that you can understand what Solomon is saying to these people about how they should let God be their motivator to keep his commandments. Solomon had just prayed. He said, Lord, these people are going to be stiff-necked. They're not going to do what they're told. He says, Lord, they're going to find themselves in with terrible sicknesses because they have not kept your commandments. He says, Lord, if they just look toward this place and pray, will you just hear them? He says, Lord, they're going to find themselves taken away captives because they just refuse to do what you said. He says, Lord, wherever they are, whatever land, if they'll just turn and face this direction and pray, Lord, will you hear them from heaven and will you forgive them? Will you restore them? Now, Solomon is saying, Let these words, this great confession, because he told God, they're not a perfect people. We're not. And we're not going to be perfect going forward. He said, but let these words that I've spoken, that I made supplication before the Lord. He said, let these words be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night. Why? That he maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. He says, let your heart therefore be perfect unto the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day. He says, do your part, trust God to do the rest. How did John write it? He says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. Can I do it on my own? No. Is it God's desire that I keep his commandments? Yeah. Will he incline our hearts unto him so that we might keep his commandments? Yes. Yes, he will. Yes, he will. A great psalm of hope, a psalm of instruction. Psalm 119 says, keep your eyes on God and ask him to show you what you need. Look there, Psalm 119, 475 in the Pew Bibles. I know I picked a little long passage, but I think it just drives the point home that God wants us to, first of all, learn to keep his commandments, to love him and to trust him to show us how to keep them. And he said, if we will keep them, then we overcome the world through our faith in him. Psalm 119, verse 25 says this, my soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. For I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. And you know, I think this may be a stretch, but I believe that the psalmist is saying, I've declared that I've trusted in you, Lord. He says, and you heard me. You believed me. Now teach me your statutes. And it all comes from the Word of God. You know, this whole principle of loving God and keeping his commandments means giving ourselves wholly over to him. Look what he says in verse 27. Make me to understand. It's let the Holy Spirit teach us. He says, make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me. You do the work, Lord, according to thy word. Remove from me the way of lying and grant me thy law graciously. Lord, show me your word. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck with thy testimonies, O Lord. Put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart, when God will show me. Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it until the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. How? Because God is our motivator. And God is our teacher. And God is the only way that we will obtain understanding. He says, and I will walk at liberty, verse 45. For I seek thy precepts. And if I could just skip a little ahead in our lesson to today, he says, it's not grievous to me, but I seek it. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. My hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Do you see where our motivation's got to come from? Do you see where our strength has got to come from? Do you see where our understanding's got to come from? John says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We love him and we say, Lord, show me. Show me who you are. Show me how to do what it is that you would have me to do. Because I have been born again and I have overcome the world through my faith in my Father. Keep his commandments, for this is the love of God. Keep his commandments and overcome the world. So, we are to fall in love with our Savior. Fall in love with Jesus. And understand his love for us. And understand his word. Understand his heart, I should say, through his word. And he'll show us how to overcome. Now, secondly, we got to keep his words to be able to overcome. Now, we got to keep on doing it. We got to keep on if we are truly to overcome. Now, let's go back to 1 John chapter 5, verse 3 again. He says, and for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We dealt with that part. And he says, and his commandments are not grievous. That's what we're going to deal with now. Verse 4, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're going to deal with that too. So it is our faith in God, our carrying on in the faith that we have in God, that gives us the ultimate victory over the world, and keeping the commandments of God, the Bible says, are not grievous. They're not grievous to the believer. And what is God saying? When he says that keeping the commandments of God are not grievous, he's saying they're not heavy. They're not a burden. Not when we know God. He said it's to the soul that knows him, who's committed to keeping the commandments of God, who has yielded his or her heart to God, he says, it's not a heavy burden. Not to follow the ways of God. Now, Jesus himself spoke to us and he commanded that we keep the Father's commandments. And I think that Christ gave us assurance that God himself would show us how to do what he commands for us to do. And Jesus himself showed us that it would not be a heavy burden that we are to bear. Now, a couple of things I want to show you about that. Look in John chapter 14, page 794 in your pew Bibles. John chapter 14, beginning at verse number 15, Christ himself speaking to us. John heard these words himself. Then God later inspired him to record them for us again. In John 14, beginning at verse 15, he says, if you love me, this is Christ talking, keep my commandments. Now that's pretty simple instruction to follow. If you love me, then you keep my commandments. And look what he says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now what's the Holy Spirit's purpose? To show us, to teach us, to give us understanding, to do all the things that we just read about in Psalm 119. He says, here is what the Holy Spirit is going to do for you. He says, even verse 17, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. This is why we have victory to overcome the world, because the world can't understand this, saying, what is your peace? Why are you at rest? Why do you seem so content? Why do you have so much joy? The Bible says, because the world cannot receive him, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. You know what he's saying? Because we are commandment keepers, souls given over to the Lord, then we will see him, because we will have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. Verse 20 says, at that day ye shall know that I am in the Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. How do we keep on? How do we really overcome? We seek the Word of God, the person of God, and we let him show us. We let him show us how to fulfill his commandments in our lives. Verse 22 says, Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And he was thinking about physically. Lord, what are you going to do to us that with my eyes I'm going to see you, but with her eyes she's not going to be able to? Well, Jesus answered, verse 23, and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He said, that's the way you're going to see them. You're going to see us with your spiritual eyes. He said, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Now, how will we keep on? How will we keep on in love with God and keeping his commandments? He says the Holy Spirit is going to teach us all things, and he's going to bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Verse 28 says, ye have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said, I go unto my Father, and my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it has come to pass, you might believe. Hereafter I will talk much with you, not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Christ had a purpose. His purpose was so that the whole world might believe. Keep the commandments of God continually, and we will be God's overcomer. And keeping God's commandment is not a chore. Ought not to be a chore to the believer, but it's an honor. And it's an opportunity given to us by God. Now, a couple of things more, and we'll wrap this up. Look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11, page 712 in your pew Bibles. He says it's an honor that God has given to us to be able to keep his commandments, to be able to take up his cross every single day and carry it. Matthew 11, beginning at verse number 25. The Bible says, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Now, what's been revealed? Who he is, what his plan is. Verse 26, he says, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son, but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. So now, again, no righteousness on our own. We cannot be saved other than through the person of Christ. And verse 28 says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." My commandment is not grievous, is what he's saying. And God gives us a great picture, guys, that I want you to get into your mind, into your mind's eye today. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor." He said, what are they laboring for? They're laboring, trying to find righteousness. They're trying to do their own thing. They're trying to be good enough. He says, "You come unto me, all of you that labor." He says, "And I will give you rest. You won't have to look for it anymore because you'll find your righteousness in Christ." He says, "Come, and I'll give you rest." And then he says, "I want you to take my yoke." He said, "You've been carrying a heavy load. You've been carrying a heavy load as you've been trying to do all this for yourself." But he says, "I want you to replace that. Take my yoke upon you." And he says, "I've already borne a heavy burden." He says, my yoke is easy. It's light. And you say, "Wow." He said, "If we'll just take his yoke on," he says, "then we'll find rest unto our souls." Take on an easy yoke. Take on a burden that is light. Rest and change and hope and a new outlook on God and on man. That's what God is saying. That's what he wants for us. He says, "My commandments are not grievous." They don't ever become a burden. They don't add to your burdens. But all that you might have labored for in the past, God says, just give it over to me. And take this light yoke and be at rest. Now, God is showing us how to be overcomers. He's showing us how to be overcomers. He says, if we will, his commandments are not grievous, so just do what I ask. He says, and my commandments will show you how to have true victory, a victory that will show you how to overcome the world. And that victory is our faith. Now, I think Paul wrote the same thing, a very similar message to the church at Corinth. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, page 854 in your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians 5, we'll begin at verse number 12. Second Corinthians 5, verse 12 says, "For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart." Now, we got to explain that before we go much further. What Paul is saying here is that he's saying, we're not bringing ourselves before you, church, so that you might approve us in the work that we're doing again. He says, but we're making plain to you how we have conducted ourselves here so that you might be able to give the doubters an answer. That we have been true to the word of God. That we haven't been here for our own glory. We haven't asked you to give us of anything. But we have done all that we have done so that God might be glorified. Tell them that everything that we did it for his glory. So in verse 13 he says, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. He says, all of this we're doing, not for our own gain. He says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. It compels us. Because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. He says, all right, we were all laboring. He goes back to that same point again. Just as Jesus put it this way, all of you who are laboring trying to find your own way, he says, you'll never find your way. Paul says, all of us were dead because one man had to die so that we might all live. Verse 15 says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He says, all right, God has died, sent his son to die for us. God has given us his command. He has given us a commandment from Adam. He has told us that he expects that we will keep them. So what ought we to do? We ought to keep on keeping on. We ought to do what God has said. In verse 16, he says, wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. What he's saying is that, you know what, we've experienced a real change. That God has shown us how he expects that we will love other people. And that's exactly what we're doing. He says, we saw Christ in the flesh, but we saw Christ also crucified. We saw Christ risen again. Now we have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of us. And he says, you know what? Now we don't look at this guy as a Jew. We don't look at this guy as a Gentile. We don't look at this guy as black. We don't look at this guy as white. We don't look at this one as a woman. We don't look at this one as a child. We look at all of them as people who need the Lord. And he says, and that's exactly what we're doing. That's what a commandment keeper doing. He says, now we don't look at anybody after the flesh. We're looking at everybody as if they need the Lord. He says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, verse 17, he is a new creature. That's what new creatures is all about. He says, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, what he says about commandment keepers here, I don't want you to miss. He says, God was in Christ, and he was reconciling the world unto himself, and he didn't hold them responsible. He didn't make them get right before he accepted them as his own. They just had to confess it. He says, he's committed the same thing unto us. The word of reconciliation, that our hands and our hearts ought to be wide open to people. He says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead. We pray for you because Christ is not here to pray for you. We pray for you in his stead that you will be reconciled to God. What is he saying? God in Christ, Christ in us, doing God's command, doing it as ambassadors. As volunteers, not as appointees, not as employees, not as if it's a heavy burden, but out of obedience to the command of God. We got to keep doing that. He says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, verse 21, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's a wild statement right there. That's a wow. How? By keeping his commandment to love him. And then by living his commandments to show the world what he looks like. To show the world his expectation. To introduce the world to our Savior. Let's close out in 1 Peter chapter number 5, page 897. Peter, if you recall, was commanded to strengthen the brother. He summarized God's command for us and God's commitment to those of us who desire to walk in his way. And if you'll read all of 1 Peter, it begins with a command to the elders. Then it goes on to a command to the youths. And he begins in verse number 6. He says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, that God will do great things through you and to you and to others. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast. And how will we resist the devil? In faith. Because our faith is a victory that overcomes the world. That's what John said. He says that we're going to resist the devil steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. In other words, you just resist him in the faith. And God has given us a great truth there. He says, because that was the same tricks he'd been trying all along. He'd been trying those same tricks on the brethren in the past and the brothers in the present. He's going to try the same ones in the future. But you just resist him in the faith. And faith has always been the victory and always will be. He says, but the grace, but the God of all grace, verse 10, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, because the devil can't take anything away from you that God has already promised. He says, after we suffered a little while, what's the God of grace going to do? He's going to make us perfect. And he's going to establish us. He's going to strengthen us. He's going to settle us. And you know what? All that is in the future tense. Because God is still working on our behalf. And the Bible says, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. John says, for this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, that we keep them, and then that we keep on keeping them. He says, and his commandments, for the commandment keepers, for those who know Christ, they're not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And where do we find the victory to overcome the world? He says, even in our faith. And who is he that overcometh the world? Verse 5 says, what's he look like? Who is that? He says, the person that overcomes the world, the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that overcomes the world. He says, what does he look like? He says, it's he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. His commandments are not grievous. There is but one way to overcome. You know what way that is? The way, the truth, the life. It's the only way. Jesus Christ. His commands, his way, our faith in him makes us victorious. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the assurance that you've given us today that it is not a faith in a faith that can hold us true to your word, but it is our faith in the word of God and in the person of God. Lord, I do pray that you show us how to love you more. And show us, Father, how to be commandment keepers. Lord, I pray that you would give us all understanding, a greater understanding of your word. Show us how to live it out. Show us how to see people as you see people. Show us, Lord, how to truly take on your yoke and your burden and to love and live as you did, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.